Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil! Arsenal are walking in a winter wonderland! What a turnaround! He's come up with it! The scorpion touch! Olivier Giroud! When you saw Mkhitaryan do it, you say we'd never see it again!
And welcome to the Cannon Crested Arsenal podcast. My name is Simon and I'm your regular host. It's been a while we've done this, so let's get on it as quickly as we can. Arsenal lost again to Brentford at the start of the 2021 season, which, to be honest, doesn't look good for us at the moment, given how we performed during preseason and the games that we have upcoming. So today on the podcast, I'm going to be talking to Nnamdi. He goes by the Twitter handle at OP Single Digit. And we covered a lot of topics on the pod. We talked about the lineup and then also the players who are missing and were not available for selection for the manager, and if that had any impact on what we saw in the game. We also went through the goals, deep analysis as to where responsibility lay with those goals that we conceded, especially Bertinelli. So there was a lot of conversation around Bertinelli here as well. And we discussed the passing out of the back and the performances of Ben White, Lokonga, Pepe, Tierney, and in general, the approach of Arteta's team currently, and our reliance on balls into the box from Kieran Tierney. So we covered all those topics on the pod. I hope you enjoy it. Give it a listen. And if you want to engage us on any of our social media platforms, it's pretty much at Cannon Crested anywhere. Thank you. Again, thank you, OB, for joining on the pod. His Twitter handle is at OB Single Digits, and you can give him a follow as well. Cheers. Enjoy. Listen. Hi Nnamdi, how are you?
Welcome. Yes, I'm good, my brother. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while actually. I decided to take a break. Like I think after the Villarreal game last season, I just couldn't take it anymore. No, actually, even before the Villarreal game, I was kind of in some hiatus. I just went into like a shell. Everything seemed very unenjoyable. The game itself was unenjoyable. Supporting was unenjoyable. Social media interactions were unenjoyable. It was just too tedious. To continue supporting Arsenal. And for the first time in my life, I felt extremely distant. So I decided to just stay away. And I think that break helped actually. So that's why it's been a while I recorded the pod as well. I couldn't just bring myself to doing it. It felt like a lie.
you're patient. You're a very patient man. Me, I gave up. Not gave up, but I just tuned out in, when was that Aston Villa game? 3-0. That was
I can't remember. The whole of last season is a blur now to me.
That was November. I think that day.
November.
It was November. No, I remember that game very well because every single player in Aston Villa was brilliant. Everybody. Yeah. Watkins, right? Ghazi, Grealish. Yeah. They're all playing very well that day. Arsenal fans, we're talking about they want John McGinn. Why yeah. can't we have some? What? El Ghazi, I can't remember if he started or he came in as a sub, but he played very well. Oh, we need El Ghazi in our team. Wow. There was another, man, that game was I don't know what to call it. It was a horrible, and in fact, the only person I knew that would thought somewhat, that coming into the game, I was like, okay, this guy would outperform his opposite number at Arsenal was Martinez, Emmy. I knew Emmy, but I did not believe that he would leave with a clean sheet. I thought maybe we'd score. left the 3-0 at that game, I completely, because the what made me tune out was not just the performance, but what came after. Like, all of a sudden, like I said, it's not good enough. Aubameyang is not good enough.
Yeah.
Oh, we need a better partner for, because it was Partey Elneny that started that game. It was okay. Can we, let's get a better partner for Partey. Let's bring the praise from McGinn was over the. I could not understand. This McGinn is who you want in at Arsenal, man. I well, but that was the day I completely like. No, this is not what I signed up for at all.
It means pretty much I lasted longer than you. I to be honest, I just couldn't do it anymore. I just completely signed out. Because supporting is something that comes natural to me, right? And if I have to wake up in the morning and try to create content for Arsenal, it has to be something that I enjoy doing, coming from after I've consumed something that I've enjoyed. And it just felt like a lie. So basically, I zoned out. But I'm going to try now. I'm giving it one more shot, see how this goes. If I can't get past this season, then it's curtains for me.
There you go. Anyway, no while. So yesterday's game was, I don't know what. Yeah, the first half, I watched the game fully, but a lot of it was like something rehearsed that was playing out, right? Because
let's start from the lineup itself. Yeah, so
all right, let's go. Well, in fact, basically what I was doing was an intro because it looked like a blur.
Yeah,
all of a sudden the dream state for me started when from nowhere all of a sudden, yes, there was a lot of preseason debate about how Aubameyang isn't looking sharp, like I said, was just looking okay-ish. Aubameyang was completely nowhere to be found in preseason. I watched almost all the games. It was looking lethargic, was missing chances, the few chances we managed to create. And he didn't score a single goal in preseason.
Yeah.
So, for just before the, because I was trying to set up my FPL, right? And, you know, you try to scour information from anywhere. And I didn't have Aubameyang in my FPL at all. Normally, I don't put him in till maybe 3 seasons. That's the way I normally, I've seen his pattern of play. He doesn't always start. But Lacazette normally starts the season firing. From the season he was signed, his first game, you know, his first league game, he scored. The season was signed.
Yeah.
Normally put him in. But all of a sudden, I was getting feelers that they would not, neither he nor Aubameyang would start.
Yeah.
Both ill at the same time. Yeah. And next thing we had Mikel saying, we don't make it. There was something he said that was kind of inflammatory to me. He said, there's nothing, yes, you're ill. We'll see whether they'll be ready for the next game. That's all you needed.
Okay.
He's talking about, I'm trying to remember exactly how he put it, but say something about only thing constant is change. What is all of that about? You know, only thing constant is changing your lineup. We don't need to make excuses. Okay, they are both ill, and that's all I'm going to say. It just sounded like there was more, you know, a sense of foreboding.
Yeah.
If these are two players who, okay, like I said, at least was linked with the move out for a lot of the break period, right?
Yeah.
Aubameyang was not performing, you know. And of course, the English press have been talking about, oh, since he got his new contract, you know, the inevitable, since he got his new contract, he's not been performing. At the tail end of last season, there was a training session he missed. And because of that, Arteta didn't start him. And that match, that was against Tottenham.
Spurs, yeah, it was Spurs. He arrived late for the game, yeah.
Right, so because I didn't start, and that was like the beginning of a somewhat fractious relationship, you know. And all of a sudden, before he didn't really light up the season last season. Preseason is not performing, and then just before the season opener, I told he's ill. Like I said, he's also ill. You know, everybody who has been associated with this club over the past 2-3 seasons since Wenger left, once you hear someone is ill, next thing is, okay, it's not COVID. If not, I would have said it was COVID, but what is going on? You know, it's like a conspiracy is brewing. Is there a problem between them? You know, that kind of thing. And now, this morning, I went on Twitter, and there are rumors that his relationship with Arteta, both he, Aubameyang, Lacazette, that is, have had some issues, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm seeing that Aubameyang is transfer listed. So this is the background, or the backdrop to which that lineup was announced. Then you have Balogun starting the game with Martinelli and who was in there? Pepe, right?
Yeah.
And then Smith Rowe playing in 10. Immediately that lineup was announced, I was uncomfortable. You know, it's you can't just thrust in that young kid, you know, first game of the season. Yeah, well, you can, but with a team that has been performing poorly from the, you know, from most of last season, we picked up at the tail end of the season, preseason we didn't do well. Now all of a sudden you're thrusting in a young striker. Well, it's fun. It was like a throwback to the Wenger days. Situation determines it, demands it rather. He could play. So I remember against Bayern Munich, just see Sanogo up front.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is frightening and cool at the same time.
But the context here is somewhat different. You're approaching the subject from a perspective that these players were dropped and then they are not on well. That's why you would say he trusts Balogun into the game. But if we go on the back of what the club has said, that both players were unwell, it means that his hands were tied. Both players are unwell. We know Nketiah is injured. So it means that basically we had to play Balogun compulsorily.
Only out and out striker available, basically.
Exactly. So it might be that he didn't have an option.
Yes, the same way December 26th against Chelsea, he didn't have an option but to play Smith Rowe. You know, your relationship with Ozil is basically the same thing. Your relationship with Ozil is broken. Every other person who could fit in was either not trusted enough or not fit. And all of a sudden, you just have no choice but to play your young attacking midfielder, and he performs. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're left with these guys, and you can sink or swim, you know. And he did well. He worked hard. I saw a lot of endeavor, but it, of course, there was no goals, and most of his shots were speculative, I think off target, most of them. I need to look at the stats just to be.
Yeah, I was watching on Bein, and they put it up during halftime that in the first 25 minutes he touched the ball just 5 times. And that shows you how involved he was in the game actually. But let's start from the back. So that speaks to the attack. Let's start from the back. We had Leno, Chambers, White, Pablo Mari, Tierney, yeah. Would you have started anybody else in that defense? I think the only conversation here is around Chambers. If you would have started him above Hector Bellerin or Cedric or Maitland-Niles, I think Chambers was clearly going to start there.
Yes, he's done very well in preseason. So for me, it was a no-brainer. You know, Bellerin, I prefer. Because for me, he's a natural right back, regardless of the fact that he came back from injury last season. He has not performed, you know, very well. But that is there's something I can't remember who said it, but when you are setting up a team for a season opener, you try to play everybody as naturally as possible. You understand? I remember when. Current Chelsea coach came in, right? And a lot of players had been frozen out by Lampard. You understand? Mm-hmm. And this Alonso was one of them. And I think his first 2-3 games, he started playing Alonso again. You understand? You are in a position where it isn't opener. You know, what you have, what you kind of want to dictate the tempo for the rest of your season. So me, I would have started Bellerin. But I can understand why he started Chambers. Chambers was the primary right back, you know, in the whole of preseason and the tail end of last season, and he did quite well. So when you look at it, I don't really have any qualms about who to start. Basically, Ben White, 50 million, you have to start him, of course. Definitely, Holding would have gone to the bench. So no, not really. I don't have any qualms about, you know, who to start. It was fine for me. It was fine.
No, we'll come to the performances, but I'm just going through the lineup. Xhaka, Lokonga, we didn't have an option. We had to start both. We had to start both because Partey was injured.
It was an option, but of course, and then he hasn't really shown, kind of, especially when you're. But funny enough, Elneny does play well away, you know, when you are trying to hit play on the break, you're trying to, you know, keep yourself compact. But I think he was trying to force the initiative. So Lokonga actually did very well in preseason. So yes, Xhaka, Lokonga, the base of midfield, I don't have any issue with that. Then
I think the guys in the front selected themselves. There was no option except you're going to play Reece Nelson or start Saka. And it's understandable why you wouldn't start Saka as well. He's had a very
tedious
break. Yeah. So I guess I think if we keep the Aubameyang and Lacazette issue aside, and in quotes believe what the club has said that they are both on well, it pretty means that the lineup, there's nothing we could have changed about it.
Yes. The players pick themselves,
yeah, which actually lends to a different type of problem, wherein it just shows you the level of squad quality that you have, where pretty much we don't think anybody on the bench can be as good as what we put out in front. There's another injury, actually. Gabriel.
Latin pronunciation, Gabriel.
Yeah. So I think Gabriel, he would have started ahead of Pablo Mari, I think, if he was fit as well.
Yes. More or less. He's left footed. So yes, I think so. He would have started probably ahead of Mari. Yeah. So
putting all that into context, can we say that this team that we saw yesterday lacked five players that would have started if they were fit? So we would have started Lacazette, would have started Aubameyang maybe on the left, Lacazette through the middle, Partey in the middle with Xhaka, and Gabriel with White. Okay, that's four. Players, yeah. Do you think that it would have had any impact? And Saka as well. So Saka would have started somewhere, maybe for Pepe, possibly. But you can't say that's
It's not extremely impactful.
Exactly. So I'm just trying to give context to the game, to the lineup, right? So given that, do you think, because yesterday was really bad, was really, really bad, I'm trying to find a way that we can possibly say if we had do you think if we had those players on the pitch yesterday, the results would have been different?
Yes, we would have gotten a draw.
What?
I was speaking with someone on Twitter. He came to me and said, after they had scored the first goal, it was like, after the first goal had gone in, I was like, tell me we can win this game. I said, if the best you can get is a draw. The whole team just lacked, I don't know, verve, enthusiasm. Everybody was just like, oh my, this isn't again. Everybody just looked unbothered, you know, except for Smith Rowe, Lokonga, you know. Xhaka, he had a couple of funny moments, but these guys were the rest. Pepe was Pepe in, and Pepe in that context is makes it, he's busy, but you see every time he's on the ball, the Brentford coach Frank Thomas, right?
Yeah,
two players on him almost every time. You see Pepe with the ball, there are two players on him, and someone remarked on something that I noticed. That's why I like checking Twitter comments and watching the football at the same time. So you see some insights there. Every time Pepe had the ball, two Brentford players would be on him, and there'd be nobody coming towards him to combine. Smith Rowe was, you know, I think and that's why a lot of it has to do with the coaching. So you have Pepe on the ball. The next thing I imagine they would plan out to do next is go wide, put a cross in. You know, he was the primary person on the right, just like Tierney was the main person on our left of attack. So it's basically the way the team was set up. Pepe did well. Of course, he's not going to get that kind of credit because of his fee and all of that. But I think he did very well in that game. He was very busy. He was always pushing the team forward. He and Smith Rowe were very, very, very instrumental. Those were the only people that did anything really worth talking about that first half, you know. Lokonga too was pretty solid for someone who's coming from Belgium. You know, they like talk about adaptation time, but he did pretty well. Martinelli was completely isolated. I don't know, lost, is that the word? Or he looked completely lost that first half. He was not combining well enough, but his style of play has to do with making a lot of runs, you know, into space and expecting the ball. Not necessarily playing a lot of combinations and staying deep. He likes to make runs off the ball, and repeatedly he could not be found. You know, there was... and part of the reason why I think he was that isolated was he was playing off Tierney. His role was to make some inside runs, you know, from midfield so that Tierney could occupy that wide position, and then the balls could go to him and he would cross it. That was I won't say only way of attack, but that was what I saw a lot of, you know, Tierney going wide, Martinelli tucking in, and then Xhaka or Smith Rowe who played the ball wide, Tierney, you cross it in, and, you know, the rest is left to God. So it was one dimensional. And
I see that a lot, but yes, it's one it might seem one dimensional. I kind of disagree with you I don't completely disagree with you, but I have a varying opinion on Pepe's performance. I think he was okay. I don't think he was that good, to be honest. I don't think he was that good because of structure as well. So if you look at Chambers, so like you correctly said, there were always two people that would be marking Pepe, which is natural. He should be used to that now. He's a dribbler, so everybody's going to do that to him. So it's a question for Arteta, how much do you want to let this player thrive by ensuring that there are systems around him that will let him thrive? So if you look at Chambers' stats yesterday, I'm just reading off it. He had one cross. He had no through balls, and he had no long balls. He had no key passes, and he had 84% accuracy. So if two people are around Pepe and you don't have Chambers running beside him to do two things, one, to either get the ball and cross it, or at least to distract one person and let Pepe to be free, that's the result of what you see with Pepe's performance. So it's Pepe's performance is always anchored. It's not only the fact that he dribbles and can do amazing things. It's also anchored heavily around other people creating distractions around him so that the space that he needs to actually dribble effectively can come through. And that's where... So when I say I don't actually think that he was spectacular, it's also within the context that the structure around him at the game didn't allow that to happen. So obviously the game then tilted towards Tierney's strengths.
Yeah, call it.
And the ball just started becoming routine. I think it was like you said, the balls were going through to him from Xhaka, from Smith Rowe, and even Lokonga, because he just kept doing that David Luiz thing of chipping the ball towards the left side of the pitch where Tierney could cross it. And I think that thing Tierney does is conscious, because when Tierney crosses the ball and Martinelli is going in, it means that there are three options that should be in the box to receive Tierney's cross. Martinelli should be there, Balogun should be there, and Pepe should be there as well. But aside from the ball that came through to Pepe in the second half that Raya saved, I'm not particularly sure that the crosses were very effective. Again, how effective a cross is also dependent on the position of the people who are supposed to receive the cross.
Who is supposed to receive the ball?
So there's a lot of structural issues that went wrong yesterday, and that's what we saw. Yeah.
You find it. You see, the thing is, why is it that it's the person almost on the opposite flank that gets the ball? You have, okay, assuming this sequence of play, right? Ball goes from Xhaka, Lokonga, back to Xhaka, maybe it combines with Smith Rowe, and then wide to Tierney. Tierney crosses the ball, and the only, I think he had I think he had three, how many accurate crosses? I think he had two accurate crosses, if I'm sure. I only saw two. Okay. I saw two or so, but we start, okay, five accurate. But I remember the best chance he created was the cross that went to Pepe. So imagine Pepe, you have your left back going wide, and then you have Smith Rowe, Martinelli, Pepe going for the ball, and it's Pepe that gets the ball. You understand? Yeah. So look at how many people are completely, you know, not participating in that cross. And another thing, Brentford play with the back three, and those, I think two of their defenders were really big, huge guys. So those crosses, they could have eaten those crosses all day. And it's that the style of Tierney's cross, really, you know, fizzed in crosses high. So they just position themselves. You're playing a back three, ball comes in, you hoist it out. They can do that all day. This is what they do. This is their meat and bread in the championship. So
they're really good. They're really good side. And
they let us have the ball in the first half.
Yeah,
they
we had 60-something percent possession of the ball.
They pressed us so that we couldn't play out of the back. We have playing out of the back. We are completely horrible now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the bit where you want to speak to Arteta in particular. And sometime in the pod, I'm going to speak with Toby and possibly Ima on the coach and what he's doing, because I wanted our conversation to focus on the game. But you could speak briefly on the passing from the back thing. Arteta has had 2 years to coach these folks every day. If this is something that he thinks that the club should do, he's a complete believer in it. He's had more than enough time to train the boys to be effective at it. If they are failing at it, it's no more a failure of personnel. It's now a failure of coaching and recruitment. It means that you're not recruiting the people. Maybe you got handed the folks who couldn't do it, like Pep and what's his name, the goalkeeper, Joe Hart, and you had to get someone to replace. So it's now a failure of coaching and recruitment, and Arteta has to own up to it. Twice during the game yesterday, there was one with Mari. It was a disaster. There was another one with Xhaka. It was a disaster. It just brings that whole... We've already suffered from this against Burnley last season. If people are not learning how to effectively pass from the back, and we have the same goalkeeper, then it's a big problem for both the manager and the club. It's not a player thing anymore, because obviously these players might not be good at it, but you're not even coaching them to be good at it. So why don't you just change it?
you are changing, but look at another thing. You are changing personnel. By the time when he came in, you understand, he had center backs who look at the FA Cup final against was it Chelsea? No. Look at that goal Arsenal scored against Man City in the FA Cup with Aubameyang, right? Where we played out in the back repeatedly, very, very well, magnificently.
Yeah, I think we did it a couple of times in that run, actually.
We kept doing it over and over again. And we scored from one, you know. And he had maybe, let's say, players that were thrust on him. Because at that point in time, he had just been coaching the club for 6 months. But he didn't do any significant transfers. And you had that. Now you have brought in Mari. You have Ben White now. Before Ben White, you had Holding, who maybe is not the best passer out of the back, but he could do an acceptable job, you know. You had David Luiz. And now you more or less have the personnel you want. Not the personnel you want, bar Partey, involved playing out on the back. And somehow they are looking worse. You know, it has just been a steep slide from when he started till now. You know, I hate referencing body language, you know, because of the connotations, how it sort of makes very good players force them to look incompetent, but the players did not look up for it. Smith Rowe, Lokonga looked competent, but most of the players looked disheartened. Even Pepe just looked like, man, let me try my best. And he, for me, even if he was being marked by two players, he was the one presenting something different, an X factor, if you like, in our attack. The rest was very predictable, very predictable. Overload wide positions, cross the ball in, and let's see how it goes. That is it. A lot of, for me, that first half was just, we had the ball, but looked really, really bad until they scored. Okay, look at the goal now. I think we can talk about the goal.
Yeah, let's look at the goal. So the goal, I think it came from a free kick in their box. So let's just go through the goal.
At the Brentford Community Stadium, and it's Sergi Canos who scores it. Lovely finish from the Spaniard. Arsenal guilty of letting the bees in, not clearing their lines, and pandemonium pours forth in West London. Brentford 1, Arsenal 0.
No, it's a good goal, I think. Also,
so if you look at the ball, it came through. I'll just go through it again, and this is just for us to create the analogy. The ball comes from the Brentford goalkeeper, right? Anybody, if you're listening, you can go through it again. Watch what happens when the ball gets the first player. Lokonga, the guy who gets the ball, who runs behind Ben White, right? He has left Lokonga in the middle. Lokonga is watching him. You can always obviously see that this is like a rehearsed goal. They knew what they were going to do. The ball came long. It went.
From the keeper to the tallest player.
Exactly. The keeper to the tallest player. He nods the ball. There are two players. There are two players between White and Mari. White obviously doesn't know there are two players behind him because he's facing where the ball is coming from. There is nobody challenging the guy who knocks the ball. Xhaka is one of them. Chambers is way behind. And then there's someone else because Chambers is trying to have vision on two players. One down is down further down his left. So the ball goes through. Lokonga is the one who sees everything happening in front of him. Right, so he can see that there's someone going behind Ben White, who then picks the ball. He picks the ball. At that point, was it Xhaka who did? I don't know. Is it Xhaka who did who saved the initial bit when it was across?
Like,
who was that?
I think it was. I was like Ben White.
Okay, Ben White. Ben White saves the ball saves from getting nodded into the net at that point.
Putting here,
it goes to Chambers.
Parted appeals for a penalty, and they grow actually.
Chambers then kicks.
The ball goes out of play. That is the thing. The ball is completely out of play.
The ball is out of play, but the official response from the Premier League was they didn't have a picture, because a picture that confirmed that assertion. That's why they allowed the ball to stand. So, which is crazy. But the ball goes. Chambers kicks the ball out. We are not alert. It goes straight to a Brentford player because we're losing. We lost the first ball, and now we're losing the second ball. So the ball goes straight to the Brentford
player.
One
or two players. It was Mbeumo down the left hand side who tugged it back, and the shot from Chambers.
I really dislike when keepers get beaten at their near post. And if it was a shot to the far post, something spectacular, but it's just a pot shot. And Leno is onside. I don't know what is onside that he looks like. No, he sees it and it's just not alert enough. And it's a goal.
Let's watch it again.
Mbeumo down the left hand side who tugged it back.
No, I don't think he's unsighted, because when that ball comes in, he has the only person who's actually directly in his line of sight is Chambers, who was attacking who was trying to defend the ball. So I don't think Leno gets a free pass for that. That was really poor from him.
And then he concedes. It was just complete. It's shambolic, honestly. How can you concede the least goals from set pieces last season? None of that. In fact, the second goal was,
second goal was atrocious. But again, it brings the question: look at how Chambers was defending for that goal. His tackling was really bad, and it's not isolated. Brighton should have scored earlier. Was it earlier or before? It was earlier, where a ball came through. Did I say Brighton? No, Brentford, right? I'm still trying to get used to their players. I don't know about the player again, but there was a play where it was White who was in that instance. His tackling was so bad. The player went through White, Tierney, and Murray, and took a shot that went wide. I think it was after the goal.
Who was that guy? It was their right wing back. Was their right wing. No, it was Mbeumo. Mbeumo, I think that had that chance that went just wide.
Exactly. It's terrible. We're having players that just can't tackle or are afraid to tackle.
I don't know. It's horrible to analyze. It just looks worse and worse. You in this context, you can't even start talking about the ball, because my first reaction was, oh, this ball was over the line, But now it just looks really poor. We hired a new set piece coach in the off season, and this is not a good it's not a good showing of his work.
Yeah, I think the first half was really bad. The closest we came was the chance for Balogun, I think. So do you think that was a penalty? I don't think it's a penalty. I don't think there was enough in it for it to be a penalty.
I was listening to Gary Neville, was it? That was analysing the new rules on penalty at halftime. I was talking about that certain action. Actually, the thing was so confusing. And the funny thing is that Mike Riley was on the pitch yesterday.
Yeah.
Was in the stadium yesterday. So you have, that was a penalty. I want to say last season, it was a penalty. Mm. It would have been a penalty. And that is 100% a penalty.
Let's go through it. I think this is it. Xhaka goes wide to Tierney. Tierney crosses it. He picks it up.
He's Balogun. He's down, legally challenged though.
He took out the guy. Oh my gosh, that is such. That is 100%.
And to end stuff, though. Here's Balogun.
Okay, I think the angle I'm seeing it from doesn't give it that much credit. But he already was going to take that shot on the turn. And then okay, maybe I give that to you. But unfortunately, we didn't get it.
Okay, so Jamie Carragher said it wasn't a penalty. I was watching my other stream. It was Keon and one ex-Tottenham guy were analyzing the game. And Keon said he thought it was a penalty. He thought it wasn't a penalty. But after some time, he looks at it and is like, no, this actually, you know, by the time he got the benefit of 2 or 3 replays, just like I did, me from the first instance, I thought, this is 100% a penalty. I've seen much softer penalties. And I think the modification made to the rules as regards giving penalties, you know, the modification, I think it has to do more with handballs and and all of that. So that is 100% the penalty. And I'm 100% betting you that today, in one of these games, you will see a penalty even softer than that given. That is the thing. You start the game, you start the season with new rules and you start justifying it, and all of a sudden you see the same things that the same sort of penalties being given. It's unbelievable. Now, just looking at, I have one eye on the replays. Do you see how often we keep giving the ball to Tierney to cross it? Every replay.
That's in the second half. We'll come to that now. Okay, now I think pretty much we're done with the first half. Quick break and we'll resume with the second half conversation. All right, we're back. Second half, quick discussion here now. So we came back in the second half. Obviously, no substitutions were made during halftime. That's the Arteta style. That's more Unai Emery. We really could have done with that. Actually, looking at the bench again.
Who are we going to bring in? There was no one.
Who we have brought in. Yeah.
Who are we bringing in? Saka. Of course, Saka is going to come in. Yeah. That's it.
But overall, the intensity of the second half was much better than the first, even though it didn't produce any results. But it just seemed like people started to talk to themselves more. The running was better. We were creating more chances. We were more forceful. But again, the way we considered the second goal in that half was just textbook annoying. It's just, I will come to that, but before we even talk about the goal, there were just a couple of points that I wanted you to talk about, of some chances. Watch this. I can't see the exact minute here, so I'm sorry if you're listening to this, but I'm going through a number of plays. Xhaka, just watch this.
10 jersey for the season ahead.
So,
congrats to Xhaka.
Yeah, that was Lokonga to Xhaka. Xhaka has Martinelli clearly in his sights. Martinelli's body is tilted perfectly, waiting for the ball. He has it's a perfect pass, Martinelli, a pass that we know Xhaka can make. And if Martinelli gets that ball, he's directly one-on-one with Raya. Xhaka decides to move the ball to the side to Tierney.
Much better move from Xhaka out to Tierney.
At the point where Xhaka moves the ball to Tierney, let's go through it one more time. At the point where Xhaka moves the ball to Tierney, if he had made that pass, one second.
Better from the man, of course, given that 10 jersey for the
season. So we're going back, Lokonga back to Xhaka. At the point where Xhaka puts that ball to, if he had put that ball to Martinelli, there was no Brentford a defender in the box. Matt, it was just one person who was ahead of Balogun, but because of the way Martinelli has tilted his body, you would expect that ball will be in front of him and he would have a straight shot at goal. When the ball goes through, by the time the ball gets through to Tierney, at that time, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Brentford players, defenders in the box against 3 Arsenal players who were all at that time behind the Brentford players. So obviously that chance was gone. Why do you think that happened?
Okay, when you go back, look at two things. Look at Xhaka's body shape receiving that ball. and look at where he's looking, right? Then an instant later, Tierney is 100% expecting that ball.
Yeah.
It looks like something rehearsed. Tierney is already making the run to where he knows Xhaka is going to play it. And Xhaka has nothing else on his mind than to play it wide to Tierney. That is why I'm saying it's more like something rehearsed. It's not, there is no, in this system we are playing, there's no room for, let's say, innovation. There is nothing. If you look at the entire sequence, there is nothing in Xhaka's body language that tells you he's even going to look for Martinelli. His mind is receive the ball and go wide. And the funny thing is, he receives the ball with his back to Tierney. So if you can go back and look at it, he receives the ball with his back to Tierney. He knows Tierney is already making that wide run. And Tierney is already pointing, give me the ball in this position so I can cross it in. Let's say Ozil gets the ball in that position. He had two options he's thinking about. Of course, he's always thinking go forward, not always, go wide. But Xhaka, there is nothing in Xhaka's complete mentality that tells you he's going to even remotely consider playing that ball to Martinelli. Martinelli doesn't even look like he is. You see the thing is, when after just so three things I want you to look out for in that sequence. Xhaka receives the ball. He does not even look forward at all. He looks 180 degrees to his
Yes, we can say that the players are coached to by default try and take the ball to Tierney, but Xhaka has the responsibility as a football player to see that there's a better option in front of him. And he makes that pass with Switzerland. So why didn't he make it there?
Because he is drilled over and over by Guardiola light. Did you ever hear this interview where Thierry Henry was talking about his game with his time at Barcelona, where there was a game he went wide and I think Pep instructed him to come in, pass the ball to Messi and take up another wide position and expect the ball. Like that. And he doesn't do that. Messi gives him the ball. He sees he's through on goal. He goes forward and scores. So he said Pep took him off after that. He was shocked. Like, okay, why are you taking me off? I just scored. And he said, no, you didn't play to my instruction. Is it so wild to believe that this is the same thing that Arteta is telling these guys? Play to this rehearsed sequence. Play to my instructions. You understand?
It's really sad. Let's not go through it again. I just wanted to go through one more incident that should have led to a goal, and we'll review the second goal that we considered.
Yeah.
So this is the Smith Rowe chance. The decision here is Smith Rowe did he have a right to go through on to take that shot, or he should have found Balogun on the left? Let's go through that together.
Okay.
Might as well have a go, stinging the gloves of David Araya.
So that's an excellent ball straight through from, I think, Xhaka to Smith-Rowe. Smith-Rowe is running forward now. At this point, Smith-Rowe has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2 Brentford players in front of him. Three behind him. All of them are forming a circle around him. And then I think Balogun on the left is completely free. Smith Rowe decides to take a shot from there. What do you think he should have done better in this instance?
I think he did the right thing.
I think he did the right thing. If there was a pass to be made, it had to be. I think he did the right thing. There was no way he could, at the pace at which the ball was moving, there's no way he would, for him to make that reverse ball to Balogun, I think it's the best. He did the best thing he could. I looked at it in real time. I looked at it and I think it was the best thing. He should have taken a better shot. He had just before he was closed in on, could have taken a better shot and maybe would have scored. At least the keeper would have been forced to make a better save rather than just tame shot he let off. I think the more pertinent chance that was missed was there was a chance in the first half where Martinelli should have passed Balogun. That was even a closer one where Martinelli did not make that pass at all. I don't know whether maybe we can go back to it at some point. But in the first half, there was a clear chance where Martinelli had that chance. I think we were on the break. Could have passed to Balogun, but he did not. Chance went away.
There was one. This one, Xhaka should have done better. The chance that we're going to look at now. This is Chambers. Okay. And Pepe gets the ball. Let's see what happens here. So Pepe gets the ball. So this is exactly what I was trying to describe earlier in the game. So Pepe has the ball now. Obviously, there's a Brentford player coming towards him. Chambers starts to run behind him. This is what we expect to see more from Chambers. And that's what Bellerin would do. But Bellerin has defensive issues. So it's a give and take with these people.
Pepe gives the ball to him. And composure.
Great cross, or more like a decent cross by Chambers into the box.
Chambers, that's a nice little cross. Xhaka couldn't get his shot away, but Xhaka can! Granit Xhaka.
Yeah, Xhaka. So it was Balogun challenging two Brentford defenders. He missed the ball. The ball is in front of Xhaka. Xhaka has complete sight of the ball at that point. Complete sight of the goal. He's running towards it. It was at a good level. Should have done better then.
Yeah, he should have done. But with someone of his ability, should be doing better. He has very good, his left foot is pretty good. So, he could have done better then.
Then the goal we conceded, it's atrocious. I personally look at Saka's reaction when the ball goes in.
The only Leno was completely blocked. Yeah. It was terrible.
It's into the roof of the net. It was rising, and it just.
So you see that my problem with Leno is. And I tweeted it during the game. He's characterless. You see, there's some people that Leno makes more saves than Alisson. Okay. Leno even makes better saves than what's his name? The Man City keeper.
Edison.
What he doesn't have better than them, and again, because he's put into that position where he has to make that save a lot more. What he doesn't have better, Alisson might make only one big save in the game. But he does that as well because he's very controlling of the people that are in front of him. He's very demanding.
You're looking at someone who is at the top, actually at the top best, one of the best keepers in here. Emi Martinez is the noisiest. Did you watch? If you watch the Copa America, I watched almost every match Argentina played in the Copa. I think I watched their last three or four matches.
Yeah,
this guy, even in Aston Villa, but in Aston Villa it was because when you are streaming Premiership games, there's a lot of they cover up a lot of background noise, lots of swearing. Yeah. They cover it up with a lot of crowd noise. But if you watch the Copa America, this guy does not shut up. That guy, I'm saying, you see, Emi must be one of the most annoying keepers in the league. He does not shut up. He is constantly on you. Move. Take your position. Defend. He's okay. That is one of the things I've always highlighted in this whole Emi versus Leno debate. Emi does not. Emi is always talking. Always, he's always talking to his defender.
Just have a look at It's completely atrocious, right? Because clearly, even before the ball is thrown, we can see that Leno was already out of his line. He was behind the Brentford goalkeeper, the Brentford player. The Brentford player was holding his shirt visibly. At that point, even before the ball was thrown, Leno should have shouted, should have done something, should have been aggressive, should have thrown himself to the floor, should have made sure the referee knew that somebody was harassing him. But he was extremely timid.
He's a quiet person. He's not. He's a character, but
Arsenal with an absolute mountain to climb now here in West London. It's Brentford 2, Arsenal 0.
They've been dangerous.
The ball comes in, we lose the ball the first bounce. The second bounce, everybody is static. We have somebody running into us and then nodding the ball. At that point, look at what Leno does. The referee is pointing towards the center circle. Look at Leno.
There's every throw, every long throw they've had.
He's standing in the farthest possible part of his net. Like he's in the angle and he's raising his hands in that angle. What he should have been doing at that point is running very ferociously towards the referee, saying, "This is what happened to me." And maybe if everybody gathers around, forces the referee to doubt what has happened and go to VAR. That's what any reasonable, aggressive goalkeeper who had gone through what he went through should have done. But no, he's timid. He's standing there, raising his hands up and asking for what?
Oh my God. And you know, looking at it now, it's very none of the defenders actually noticed what the Brentford player was doing.
Nobody would have noticed it because everybody was focused on the ball, which they all blindly missed. But nobody would have seen what he was doing. He's the only one who experienced what he experienced, and he needed to firstly call it out, or secondly, when the ball went through, be more aggressive against it. Because if you look at the screenshot I'm showing you now, before the ball even bounces, the referee's line of vision is directly at Leno and the keeper. And the Brentford player, Leno is way yards out of his line. And he can't go back because someone is holding him. Why wasn't he more aggressive with making a statement that this happened?
No, it's not. The guy is not in his character, let me say.
I think mentally he's defeated. Like he's defeated. That's what you're saying here. This is a fallout of all the transfer.
Being mentally defeated. The players, after the goal goes in, everybody is just, "Oh, we don't lose this one." I beg nothing. You know, that's something I've noticed with Arsenal since in the past. 8 months since that Aston Villa loss, you know, they just look, no problem. We have lost it. No problem. Let's go again. You know, and this is horrible. Horrible officiating. Look, this guy has his arm. Oh, yeah. I saw it. When I saw it, I was like, no, this is horrible. Why doesn't anyway? Yeah, you have to compel the referee to go to VAR because I think the EPL and their referees are told to make VAR as non-intrusive as possible, you know. So, of course, if you need something, you have to ask for it. You have to ask for it. And Leno is not timid. He's a quiet person. But, I'm a quiet person too. If I'm playing football, even in a friendly, you know, sense, I don't even, you have to keep making a noise. Let the people know. Do you remember Oh my God. Lehmann is not a noisy person. These great keepers do not keep quiet.
Yeah.
And that is a weakness Lehmann has always had. I don't know. But that goal should not have been allowed.
Yeah, that goal should not have been allowed, but it was the owner's lay with to make sure.
It's terrible. But the set pieces, conceding two goals off two set pieces.
Mm. Yeah, which is just bad.
Well, I say typical, but listen, it's not. It doesn't make for a good viewing
at all. And it's something that we saw in preseason, something that has continued into the game, the real season now as well, which is just bad. That's another set piece that. Anyways, just to round up, we've been at this for a bit now.
Before you. After that, Leno just became a basket case.
Yeah.
Look at that. You can tell he's completely rattled.
Yeah.
And it was not fun to look at.
Honestly. At all. We had one more chance, the Pepe chance that came from the Tierney cross, but Raya did exactly what Leno should have done with the first goal that we conceded, and it was good. You see why Arsenal wanted to get this Raya guy last season, and Brentford were very reluctant to let him go, because they knew the quality that they had, and they were not going to settle for anything less than the valuation that they placed on him.
You see something else. When we were looking at David Raya, one of the biggest the thing people had against him was his height. It's pretty short for a keeper. I think he's just above 6. I think he's shorter than Ospina. I remember checking. He's actually shorter than Ospina. But he's surrounded by 2 or 3 giants now. So at least on set pieces, you have some sort of what protection or insurance.
That's it.
I have a question. What how do you think Brentford will perform over the next 2-3 games? I think they're going to lose
it's a sequence with Arsenal. We're very good at letting people think that they're better than they really are. And then when they meet the real level of opposition that is in the Premier League, it reveals their status, and we start to ask ourselves, is this a team that we lost?
This is them team that that beat us.
Because if you look at the game and what we have gone through, there were more than enough chances for us to actually be better. They had their chances as well, but we had our chances that we should have taken care of, but we didn't. Like the Xhaka one that should have gone to Martinelli instead of Tierney. We had the one with Pepe, the one with Xhaka with the cross from Chambers. It was really bad, honestly.
That's grim. I want to see Adrian Clark. What is going to the guy will say, here we go. Here we go again. How much am I getting paid? I'm not getting paid enough. He doesn't get paid enough for that.
That work that he does.
That is a miserable thing. That's a miserable job to clean up after a poor performance.
Yeah, to clean up without having to sound antagonistic, because it's a club that
Gary Neville
for.
Gary Neville is because Gary Neville yesterday has been talking about players being weak, you know, the same diatribe.
Yeah.
Weak, this and that, gets set pieces, and there have been some queries about Ben White's height. You know, I first game in preseason, I looked at it, this guy is not that tall. He's been brought in more for his passing abilities, you know. And yes, I think credit to him. There were 2 very good passes he made. One to Pepe, the other to, was it Balogun? You know, I think in the first half.
Yeah, of the three, he had the highest passing percentage. White passed yesterday at 90%. That's 57 out of 63 completed passes. Mari, 83.
No, the long balls are the ones I'm actually talking about.
The long ones. Yeah, I think Mari had better long balls than him yesterday. Mari had 3 long balls. I need to check again, but I think when I checked, Mari had better
Mari
long
had
balls.
3. Than if it's 3, then Ben White, I know, had 3. Ben White had 3. So it's probably, I don't know who made more. Mari made more pass long balls from Indian. From what I recall, but Ben White was really poor. And Jimmy Carragher was saying something, you know, that
Ben White had 3 long balls. Ben White had 3 long balls, and Mari had 3 long balls as well. They both had 3 long balls. Yep. But Ben White passed at 90%, and Mari passed at 83%, and Chambers passed at 84%. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's basically more about from the 2-3 games I've seen of him, he's not great on set pieces.
No.
He's no David Luiz, because David Luiz will not I wasn't the biggest fan of David Luiz, but if it's getting the ball out of the box with your head quickly.
I think holding is even better in that actually as well.
No, I'm just talking about if you're doing a comparison, because Ben White is basically the replacement for David Luiz in terms of playmaking from defense.
Yeah.
You know, so, but David Luiz is much better in the air from what I'm seeing so far. So this, Ben, well, I hope we'll see something better versus Chelsea, because Chelsea will do more running. It will be more, and Lukaku is still to start.
Yeah.
So, man.
Yeah.
Well, cut out for us.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
It's a wrap here. Let's just call it into this one. The misery is already long enough.
All right. No, worries. It always takes longer. But it looks like you can. It always looks like you can do this thing in 20 minutes. But
yeah,
seeing things that annoy you.
The goal was to talk to it for 20 minutes, and we've gone about an hour, a little over than that. Okay, let's see how. Let's see if we can get anything better against Chelsea. Very unlikely, but fingers crossed. Yeah, come on, you Gunners, at least.
Oh, hello, my brother.
Have a good weekend.
All right. Enjoy. Take care.
Yeah, cheers. Bye.